a capital evaluation perspective, the board of directors asked the committee to review the current guidelines. And I really have to give Steve Munger credit with pushing this forward and helping us recognize some of the need associated with the guidelines as they're currently written and how specific areas we might want to review. And maybe there's some opportunities to make revisions. And as you'll see, get more cattle through these systems and actually collect more data on more animals. So with that said, the board of directors, we established a feed intake guidelines committee. And those folks are listed here. We got Larry Keene from the USDA Meat Animal Research Center. We're kind of loading him down with several guidelines committees because he's on the BRD guideline committee as well. Steve Munger, who you heard speak over lunch from Eagle Pass Ranch. Craig Peel from Colorado State University, that is really the faculty in charge of managing our centralized feed intake test, our GrowSafe system. Wade Schaefer from American Simmental, who's had a lot of experience dealing with feed intake data. And, of course, Dan Scheich from the University of Illinois, where they have a very large system where they measure feed intake data. Matt Spangler from the University of Nebraska and Bob Weber from K-State, both of which are going to speak after this related to some of the challenges of feed intake data and how we actually analyze and collect that information. And, of course, Robert Williams as chair of this committee and myself as chair of the Cow Adaptability and Efficiency Committee. So this is the group that have been going through the guidelines and considering areas we might make improvement, maybe be more specific or loosen up the guidelines a bit. Kind of the key areas that we've been looking at relative to guidelines are, the first one is the length of the warm-up period. If you remember, in the current guidelines, we recommend 21 days. The length of the test for accurate measurement of feed intake and body weight gain. Contemporary group definitions and how we actually deal with that in a national cattle evaluation scenario. And I'll talk about that more in a moment. And then use of embryo transfer data is another issue we've been asked to address. Because as you realize, in some national cattle evaluations, ET or data on ET animals from birth weight and weaning weight and some of those others isn't currently used in calculating the EPDs on those ETs. And so at what point, you know, this is valuable data and it's not cheap to collect. So is there a way we can actually leverage some of that information when we run an ET calf through a feed intake system? So that's one of the other areas we've really been trying to review and evaluate. So just a quick review of things. We've got a 21-day warm-up in the period in the current guidelines and a 70-day test after that 21-day warm-up. So, you know, the shortest the current recommendations allow is 91 days in this system to get accurate measurement of body weight gain. Now, in the current guidelines, there is mention made that if you were measuring were feed intake on these animals, then you could probably shorten it up to 45 days. But because the current guidelines are written to measure both gain and feed intake, it's a 70-day recommended test. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of foreshadowing into some of the things we found and are still working through, but it appears there may be an opportunity based on historical research and some of the research that's recently published that we can shorten test length up if we decouple body weight gain from feed intake. And a lot of you may have went to Ms. Ritalik's seminar in one of the subcommittees yesterday that talked about different ways to measure gain related to some of these parameters. And I think Dr. Weber and Spangler will talk about that here in the next slide. But just to give you an example of why we're probably going to decouple those two from our test recommendations and do separate recommendations for each. Miranda Culbertson, one of our graduate students who's actually here, actually took historical data from the CSU facility, our centralized test, and looked at all of the animals that had run through the facility on a full 70-day test and split that up into subsets of data. So based on 70-day test information, she divided it up into two-week periods, so 14 days on test, 28 days on test, 42. And she looked at the correlations between those shorter length tests and the full test. And if you look at feed intake, those are the correlations. So if we run right in here, you know, a 56-day test, the correlation of that test length with a 70-day test for feed intake is 0.99. And she divided this up. I mean, you notice we've got two 14 days, the first 2 weeks on test versus the last 2 weeks on test related to the whole test period. So pretty good relationships as we shrink that time period down for measuring feed intake. But if you go to the next step and look at weight gain, you see our correlations here aren't anything near like what we saw for measuring feed intake. And so this is one of the contributing papers that is helping us to pull these two apart and actually establish two different sets of guidelines depending on what your outcome should be or your desired outcome is relative to these traits. So no matter how you look at it, there's some opportunity for recommending that we allow shorter test length for measuring at least feed intake, and we're still evaluating gain. Now, through this process, what we've done is we've solicited input from a number of different people that have been highly involved with measuring feed intake or the use of that in a national cattle evaluation. So we've talked to Allison, who will speak later in this session. Dr. Gordon Karstens at Texas A&M that's done a lot of work on their GrowSafe data that they've collected. Mike McNeil, that's obviously been key in implementing some of these in national cattle evaluation, some of these evaluations. John Basarab, who has talked several times at BIF meetings from the University of Alberta and some of the research they've done measuring feed intake. And then Dr. Lisa Kreese Anderson from Auburn that is also deeply involved in measuring feed intake. So we've gotten input from these. They use various systems and trying to weigh all of that relative to what should the warm-up length be and how long should the test be. And we've got a few others yet we're gonna consult before we release the final version of these revisions. And so the committee at this stage has met numerous times via conference calls to try to flesh some of these things out. The areas where we have some agreement based on the science, we've actually divvied up some writing responsibilities that then Robert Williams and I will synthesize together into the final set of guidelines. Specifically, I think we have agreement on the committee based on the research that really for dry matter intake, we need 35 good days, if you will, of feed intake measures. And so that's going to be the minimum. Obviously, if you throw a few days out, you got to run your test longer. Okay, but that would be the minimum for getting a good evaluation of dry matter intake on animals going through some of these systems. The other one that we're dealing with currently is proper contemporary group assignments relative to how we write the guidelines and then how this data is subsequently used in genetic evaluation. And really the question is, you've got a dilemma here. You've got the question is, if you group animals based on where they came from, their weaning management contemporary groups and their birth contemporary groups, is that what we need to do? Or if we put in a sufficient warm-up time period, can we wash out some of those earlier effects and actually keep larger contemporary groups in the feed intake unit and better leverage that information? Because if you overspecify contemporary group designations and feed intake and make your contemporary group smaller, most of you would realize the value of that data goes down. Well, this is expensive data, so how can we maximize that value and how can we really make fair comparisons amongst animals to give us more value associated with that data in a national evaluation? Because that's what we want to do, is maximize the utility of this information. So our plan at this point is to finish these up before the mid-year board meeting. Now, the date of that hasn't been set, but usually it's in, you know, end of September, October, November sometime, and have this all wrapped up and the first set of revisions submitted to the board of directors. And at that point, what they're going to do then is vote on those, review them, and decide whether we're going to adopt those or not. And as a committee, we hope to have our ducks in a row and really look at the science behind this to make some good suggestions and realizing if we can shorten the feed intake test, there's a whole lot more animals we can evaluate and really start to build a good database for genetic evaluation. So, Robert, that's what I've got for an update on the revisions.